Turning in your Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter 24. I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 6. And we want to read beginning at verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would fill our cup as only you can from your word today. We pray that what we would present to you are empty vessels that can be filled by your spirit, can be filled by your word. That we might, as Brother Ron Beatty said in his email this week, that we might bark loudly in this day in which we live. We pray that you might show us something of the wonders of your word as we study it together today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last couple of weeks on Sunday morning, we have been looking at the siege of Samaria here in 2 Kings chapter 6. And we focused our attention on this 25th verse and this ass's head that sold for 80 pieces of silver. The most valuable thing in Samaria was an ass's head. And we saw in our first message that the most valuable thing in America today is this same ass's head. The ass's head of secular humanism that begins in the public education system and from there permeates every institution in this country. Last week we saw that one of those institutions that this ass's head of secular humanism has permeated is the church. We talked about how it is manifesting itself there in the form of these new modern versions of the Bible and all that comes with that. But there's one more thing that we want to talk about, because something else was valued in Samaria. Something else was being bought there, as we see in verse 25. It was the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung that was sold for 5 pieces of silver. A cab in the Scofield Reference Bible, there's a note that says that a cab is almost 4 pints. So 1/4 of a cab would be about a half a quart. It's interesting to read some of the commentaries and see how they try to explain what is meant by dove's dung. One says something else must be meant. Some have thought that this term refers to the undigested grains found in the dove's dung, and what these people did is pick them out and eat them. Others go so far as to suggest that this dove's dung is pulse or lentils or parched corn. Something that we need to remember as we study the Word of God is that this book was written by the one whose name is the Word. The Word. And I was reminded of the importance of that truth again this week. Our subject this morning is dove's dung. Gail got a news notification on her phone, and the headline was this: Representative Ted Lieu silently schools GOP on Jesus Christ's comments about homosexuality. The story says that Lieu, a Democrat from California, found a way to quietly school his Republican counterparts who are targeting the rights of LGBTQ Americans. He did it with a little help from Jesus Christ. Lieu was speaking on the floor of the House of Representatives, I guess in connection with Pride Month. And he said, quote, "The historic wave of bills targeting LGBTQ teens, children, and their families are being propagated across the country by Republicans." And then he said the following: "I just thought I would now recite what Jesus Christ said about homosexuality." And then Mr. Lieu stood in silence for nearly 25 seconds, meaning that Jesus Christ said nothing about homosexuality. And therefore his silence, according to Mr. Lieu, is an approval of homosexuality. Folks, may I say that is dove's dung? And what makes Representative Lieu, and he's not alone, churches are giving out the same message. Brother Adam sent me about a month ago, and we mentioned in a message recently, the Drag Me to Church program with drag queen, the Lady Duché, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Greenville, South Carolina. I saw a sign in front of a church this week that said, "Jesus excluded no one. We are an inclusive congregation." That makes Representative Lieu and all these churches peddlers of dove's dung. I mean, if dove's dung was selling in Samaria, it was being bought in Samaria, then someone was peddling it. And the government and the churches of this nation, you know, the places where the ass's head of secular humanism has permeated, are peddling this dove's dung. What ignorance and blasphemy to suggest that Jesus Christ never said a word about homosexuality. John 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word that is God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus Christ. His name is called the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." This book is His words from Genesis to Revelation. The words of the one who is the Word, Jesus Christ. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Spake as they were moved by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, therefore, in Leviticus 18 and verse 22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Jesus Christ said in Romans chapter 1 that homosexuality is vile affections. It's against nature. It's unseemly. Jesus Christ said in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord God." This verse tells us that transgenderism, a woman or a man taking on the appearance or seeking to change and alter the way that God created them, is an abomination to God. That's what Jesus Christ said about the LGBTQ movement. This book was written by the one who is the Word, who is the author of language. And he has no problem saying exactly what he means. And so when the Spirit of God says the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was sold for 5 pieces of silver, that's exactly what he means. He means dove's dung. We want to think about that this morning. Several things that are important to consider about dove's dung. One is, if there were enough doves in the city so that their dung could be gathered by the half gallon and sold by the half quart for 5 pieces of silver, then why didn't these people eat the doves? It's an important question. In the light of what we read beginning in verse 26. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" I wish people could get a hold of that verse. This woman's asking government to help her. Government didn't have any help for her. And governments have not changed, have they? And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." Think about what we have here. Here's a city, here's a society that values animal life more than human life. You ever heard of a society like that? I think you have. We live in the midst of a modern day Samaria. We live in a country where the lives of animals are of more value than the lives of little babies. A society that values animal life over human life is a society where there is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" God cares for and about animals, and He expects us to. He said in Proverbs 12 and verse 10, "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast." I've often thought, if I could not have been my wife's husband, I'd like to be her dog. Because she really holds on to that verse. She regards her beast. And we should too. But God doesn't value animal life over human life. And when a society does, that society is eating dove's dung. Now there's a couple of things worth noting. Keep your place here and turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28 for just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In this chapter, and we've spent some time in this chapter in the last year or so, the Lord is giving the people of Israel the blessings that will come as a result of obedience to His Word, and the cursings that will come, the consequences that will come as a result of disobedience. That's what verse 1 says. The Lord says, "If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now look at verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And among those curses are verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Verse 52. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. Look at verse 56. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. 2 Kings 6 and verse 29 is not some shocking thing. God prophesied it. If his people left him, if his people forsook him, if people left the path of obedience to his word, then this would be one of the consequences of their sin. It's exactly what happened. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book. That's what verse 58 says. There's no limit to the depths to which an individual or a nation will sink when they turn their back on and forsake the Word of God. America is living proof that the things that we've read this morning are still true. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. This woman valued her life and her needs. She valued her choice, if you will, and her right to choose and her right to live more than she valued the life of her own child. And that same attitude of heart has been acted out in this country nearly 64 million times since Roe versus Wade became the law of the land. Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The perilous times of the last days, when men would be lovers of their own selves, when men would be without natural affection. We're looking here not only at Samaria, we're looking at America for the last 49 years. And I want you to think about how strong and ingrained this abortion mindset is in this country. And the thought, and it's not true, but the thought that Roe versus Wade being altered in any way is going to eliminate abortion in this country. That fear is being fueled by politicians. It's being fueled by Democrats like Chuck Schumer. Remember what Schumer said at an abortion rally outside the Supreme Court in 2020? He stood there and at the top of his voice he shrieked, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions." And this week, Brett Kavanaugh, but for the grace and the mercy and the protection of God, almost felt the whirlwind. Almost experienced not knowing what hit him that Schumer spoke about, because on Wednesday morning of this week, a man, Nicholas Roski, was arrested outside of the home of Brett Kavanaugh, carrying a gun and a knife and pepper spray. And his intent was to kill Justice Kavanaugh. You know what's happened to Chuck Schumer? Nothing. He should be expelled from the Senate. But he'll be there because the media likes what he's saying. Roski's been charged with attempting to murder a Supreme Court justice. When a society devalues human life to the point that they're willing to commit murder to change a Supreme Court decision to protect abortion, that society is feeding on dove's dung. Nancy Pelosi is sitting on a bill that would increase protection for the Supreme Court justices and their family. It passed unanimously in the Senate, if you can imagine that. She's sitting on the bill. Why? Why? She said, no one's in danger this weekend. Well, no one's in danger at her house. But why is she sitting on that bill? Because she wants that preliminary decision changed. And she's willing to be a partner to violence. Schumer is willing to be a partner to violence, even murder, to get that decision changed. That's the shape that we're in this country. That's one aspect of this dove's dung. But again, we want to see that these words, this dove's dung, applies to the church in this hour. It's where the problem is, folks, is the church. A moment ago, we asked the question why these people didn't just eat the doves. Why were there so many doves in Samaria that could produce this volume of dung? It's a lot of it. And somebody might be asking, well, why are we even talking about this? People don't come to church to hear a message on dove's dung. But I believe that this dove's dung is important. And I believe it's important because if it weren't, then the Spirit of God would not have put it in the book for our learning. Look back for just a minute at Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. In this chapter, we have the sweet savor offerings, the burnt offerings that were to be offered to the Lord that picture the Lord Jesus Christ offering himself without spot to God for our sin. Now notice verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. The word pigeon here in this verse is word number 3123 in the Hebrew dictionary of the Strong's Concordance. It's the exact same word that is translated dove in 2 Kings 6. The word appears 31 times in the Old Testament. 21 times it is translated dove. 10 times it is translated pigeon. So when we're reading about pigeons, we're also reading about doves. Verse 15, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. The priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The dove was one of the birds that could be offered in sacrifice as a burnt offering. Look over at chapter 5 for just a minute, in verse 6. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord. One for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, and shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. Doves were one of the birds whose blood could be offered as a sin offering. These doves offered as burnt offerings and sin offerings, their blood being sprinkled on the side of the altar, is a picture of the sacrifice of Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that was shed there. And so when we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 that doves were apparently so plentiful that their dung could be gathered by the gallons and sold, then the question is, or the question that came to my mind, or the thought is, they were so plentiful because they were not being used as burnt offerings and sin offerings. And I think that's important to think about because it suggests to us something about the spiritual condition of the people of Samaria. These people needed to confess their sins. And there was apparently plenty of doves to do that with. They were without excuse. And what it suggests is that these doves were more important than the Savior. More important than the Savior. You want to think about that for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 8, we read how the flood is over. We read in Genesis chapter 8 in verse 1 that God remembered Noah. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. And beginning in verse 6, we read how Noah sent out a raven. And the raven went to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And then Noah sent out a dove to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But because the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, she came back to Noah in the ark. And so Noah waited 7 more days and he sent forth the dove again. And the dove came back in the evening and the dove had in her mouth an olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. That is the first mention of the dove in the Bible. And Noah sends her out to see if the waters had receded, to see if the face of the ground was exposed. When she came back with the olive branch in her mouth, Noah knew that the waters were gone. Noah knew that the judgment and the death and the destruction of the flood was over. In other words, Noah knew that what was outside of the ark was peace. Peace. Judgment was over. That's one of the things that a dove speaks to us of in the Bible. It speaks of peace. And especially a dove with an olive branch in its mouth speaks of peace. That's recognized not only in the Bible, but in the world in which we live. But let's apply that symbolism of the dove in Samaria in 2 Kings chapter 6. The people of God valued doves so much, they wouldn't sacrifice them. They valued doves so much that they would not eat them. They would rather spare the doves and eat the dove's dung. Folks, the people of God in Samaria today, the people of God in America are no different. What is it that churches value today? They value peace and harmony and unity. In most churches in this country, peace is more important than anything else. Unity is more important. Inclusiveness is more important than anything else. And so in order to have peace and unity and harmony and inclusiveness, the dove has to be eliminated. And what churches are buying is the dove's dung. And what is the dove's dung of peace? It's compromise. Instead of preaching the gospel of peace, and what is the gospel of peace? Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. How? He's made peace through the blood of His cross. The gospel of peace is that God sacrificed His dove, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrung out His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. He offered Him as a burnt offering. He offered Him on our behalf in the fire of His eternal judgment. But people don't want to hear that message. People don't want to hear the gospel of peace. They don't want to hear about the blood of the cross. They don't want to hear about the consequences of that message. That you and I are born into this world as enemies and rebels against God. Our wicked works have separated us from God. Every imagination of the thoughts of our heart is only evil continually. We have a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so the cross condemns us. People don't want to hear that message. They don't want to hear about their wicked works. They'd rather eat dove's dung and hear about peace and harmony and unity and inclusiveness than to hear about the message of the dove. There's a famine in America of hearing the words of the Lord. And what people are hearing in churches at this hour is the dove's dung of a compromised message. A message that leaves out the cross and the blood and the need for repentance. Change of heart, a mind that results in a change of heart, that results in a 180 degree change of direction in the life. There's a better program that you can talk about. Raise your hand, come down to the front, repeat a prayer, get baptized, join the church, add Christ to your life, and then go on with your life. And people are buying that dove's dung because it's cheap. It only costs 5 pieces of silver. God's dove, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the message of the gospel will cost you everything. Everything. Because to follow Him, you have to hate your life. You have to deny yourself. You have to come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart and believe that you are exactly what God says you are, a sinner. It's worthy of nothing but death and hell and judgment for all eternity. But people don't want that dove. They would rather have the dove's dung of a compromised message, the dove's dung of peace and unity and inclusion, the dove's dung of easy believism and church membership and good works and their own will and their own way wrapped up in a spiritual context. What have you got this morning? The dove or the dove's dung? But the dove in the Bible is associated with something else. In the book of the Song of Solomon, the dove is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's associated with His love. The dove of biblical love is the truth of this book. It's all the counsel of God. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. How did He manifest that love? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is the message of the death of the Lord Jesus for sinners. And it is the expression of His love. In fact, the only place where you will ever find the love of God demonstrated is the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus demonstrated His love there by His obedience to the Father. John chapter 10 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." And when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then the expression and the demonstration of our love for Him is our obedience to Him. John 14 and verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my commandments." John 14, 24, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." In 1 John 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." That is the dove of biblical love. But people aren't interested in that dove. And the people of God in Samaria today, the people of God in America, in this hour where there is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, would rather eat the dove's dung than to feast on the dove. And what is the dove's dung of love? It's the doctrine, the false doctrine, that love is God. It's the doctrine of self-esteem. Paul, again, in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Self-esteem. That's the dove's dung that people are eating in this hour. The message of the psychology gospel: low self-esteem produces feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt. Low self-esteem robs us of self-acceptance and self-worth, and so we need high self-esteem. That's the dove's dung that's being preached throughout this land. And it's encouraging people to be what we are by nature: self-centered and selfish. And esteem ourselves, when what we need is to believe the truth that Job believed. When Job came to the end of himself, he said to the Lord in chapter 42, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." That's the message of love that people need to hear. That dove's not popular. People would rather feed on the dove's dung of self-esteem. What are you feeding on this morning? The dove or the dove's dung? God's dove of peace is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for your sin. Are you feeding on that dove today? That dove is available. God's dove of peace is available to those who are willing to turn to him from their sin and trust him to be their Savior. Are you feeding on God's dove of love? God's dove of love is obedience to his word. And his word says in Psalm 119 and verse 128, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." God's precept about self-esteem is in Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Job esteemed the Lord Jesus Christ better than himself. That's how people get saved. "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Are you feeding on that dove this morning? Are you feeding on the dove's dung of self-esteem? We're living in Samaria today. There's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, and as a result, an ass's head is selling for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And in the light of that, we need to again notice where Elisha was in all of this. Elisha sat in his house. In the midst of the siege, in the midst of the famine, in the midst of the buying and selling of asses' heads and doves' dung, Elisha sat in his house. And as we've mentioned in these messages, the house is a symbol of the local church. And folks, in the midst of the very same things that we are living in, just exactly what Elisha faced, we need to be sitting in the house of the local church at every opportunity, studying this book so that we might understand the times that we're living in. So it might continually feed on the dove of the Word living and the Word written, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not the dove's dung of compromise and self-esteem. The day of the Lord's return is approaching. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 8, he asked this question, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The Lord's coming is connected to the disappearance of biblical faith on the earth. And we are there. We're there. Are you saved today? Have you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ from your sin? And if we have, are we living for him? Are we standing for him? Are we barking in these days when the voices of God's people need to be heard so loudly and so clearly? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would take your word and use it in our hearts today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.